So imagine hiring like this brilliant senior developer to help you with a project.
Okay, sounds great so far.
Right. I mean, they're incredibly fast. They know literally every programming language on Earth, and they never sleep.
Basically, the perfect hire.
Exactly. But there's a catch.
There always
Yeah.
is.
So every single time you ask them to, say, fix a simple typo, they require you to sit down and read the entire 10,000-page company manual out loud to them.
Oh, wow. Just for a typo.
Just for a typo. Before they will press a single key. And this is the worst part. Halfway through your reading, they suddenly just forget what you asked them to do in the first place.
That sounds like an absolute nightmare of a working relationship. I'd fire them.
You would.
Yeah.
But that is exactly what happens, every single day when we try to do complex, sustained work with an AI.
Right. It's so true.
If you're listening to this, you have probably experienced it. You're in the zone, working on a long blog post or spreadsheet analysis or some coding project, and by paragraph five, well, the AI has completely forgotten the instructions you gave it in paragraph one.
Yeah, it starts hallucinating or just sort of collapses under the weight of its own memory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And today's deep dive is about conquering that exact frustration.
We are looking at a really fascinating piece of source material today. It's a post from a developer titled, "I rewrote my AI coding harness 4 times in 2 months."
Four times. That's a lot of rewriting.
It is. It chronicles this almost obsessive journey to solve what engineers call the context limit problem. And they didn't solve it by just waiting around for a smarter AI model to be released.
Right, they actually solved it by completely changing the architecture of how they interact with the AI in the first place.
Exactly. They shifted from having a single all-purpose AI assistant to building this entire automated routing system.
Which is wild. But before we get into the whole multi-agent orchestration thing they ended up with, we need to clarify a term you just used.
Sure, which one?
You said coding harness. Because for you, the listener, if you're used to just opening up a browser and typing into a standard chat interface, the idea of a harness might be entirely new.
Oh, right. Yeah, we should define that.
What exactly is the difference between the AI itself and the harness?
That is a fundamental distinction to make here. The harness is not the AI model itself. You can think of the underlying model, whether that's Claude or GPT or Gemini, as the engine.
Okay, the answer.
Right. It provides the raw reasoning power. The harness, on the other hand, is the car built around that engine.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, it's the scaffolding, the automated scripts, the rules of engagement, and the workflow software that surrounds the AI.
So it's basically the environment the AI lives in.
Exactly. The harness dictates exactly how the AI reads your local files, how it writes code, how it runs tests, and most importantly, how it stores and retrieves information over time.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So, to understand how to build the ultimate high-performance car, I guess we first have to look at how the simplest bare-bones go-kart completely falls apart when you push it too hard.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The author's journey begins with what they call Harness One, which is just vanilla Claude code.
Right. And vanilla meaning just the absolute most basic setup.
Yes, the simplest possible approach. There's no fancy scaffolding, no specialized sub-agents, no complex skills.
It's just one main session.
Just one session that reads your files, edits them, and runs terminal commands.
And to be fair, the author does admit that for quick, localized tasks, what they call tier one or tier two work, this vanilla approach is actually perfect.
It really is.
Like if you're just fixing a quick typo or doing a hot fix or rewriting a single function in one file, you genuinely want that
You
simplicity.
don't want a ton of overhead for a typo.
Exactly. The signal-to-noise ratio is fantastic.
Yeah.
You ask a simple question, it gives a simple answer, and you move on.
Right, because the task is small enough that all the necessary information easily fits inside the AI's context window.
Without crowding out its ability to actually reason about the problem.
Yes. But mid-March is when the wheels completely fall off the go-kart.
Yeah, this was the breaking point. The developer was working on a refactoring task for a feature in one of their repositories called Shishuan.
And this wasn't even a massive system-wide overhaul, right?
No, not at all. It was a medium-sized task touching about seven different files. But because they were using this unstructured vanilla approach, that single main thread had to do absolutely everything.
And that right there is where the architecture breaks. Because it's a single thread, it has to read and store the full text of every single one of those seven files into its active memory.
Which eats up tokens like crazy.
Oh, it does. Then it runs iterative tests. And every time a test fails, all of that raw failure output gets dumped directly into the thread.
plus all the conversational back and forth between the developer and the AI on top of it. The author coined a phrase for this that I just absolutely love. They called it a context landfill.
A context landfill. That is painfully accurate.
Isn't it? Every single thought, every misstep, every raw log file just gets hoarded in one long unbroken chain.
And they noted that within just 1 hour of working on this multi-file feature, the context hit 80% capacity.
Which is the danger zone.
Absolutely. When an AI's context window gets that full, its performance starts to noticeably degrade. It slows down, it loses track of the original system instructions, and its logic just becomes brittle.
So the developer is basically forced to hit the emergency brake at that point.
Yeah, they have to run a command called compact.
Right, which basically forces the AI to summarize the entire conversation so far, delete the raw history, and start fresh with just the summary.
But the author noted a huge problem with that. By doing this, they watched the model lose about 30 minutes of highly nuanced, deeply specific state.
All that subtle context was just vaporized.
Poof. Gone.
So why does this happen so fast? I mean, if one thread is perfectly fine for a quick fix, why does adding just a handful of files cause the entire system to collapse into a landfill?
Well, what's crucial to understand here is that this isn't actually a bug with the AI model itself. It is a fundamental structural mismatch.
How so?
Think about human developers. When you're fixing a typo, you can do that alone. But as a project grows to touch multiple different systems, your solo developer work eventually scales to become what we call team-shaped work.
Team-shaped work. Okay, I like that.
Right. You need a planner to map out the architecture, an implementer to write the code, a reviewer to check the logic, and a tester to run the suite.
And a single AI thread simply cannot be all those people at once.
It can't. It cannot handle the cognitive load of an entire team all by itself. It can't hold the entire project architecture, the granular code details, and the testing history simultaneously without drowning.
Yeah, if you've ever tried to have an AI write a really long article, and by the end, it sounds like a completely different persona wrote it, you have experienced this exact landfill.
The AI just gets crushed under the weight of its own output.
Exactly. So, driven completely mad by the chaos of this vanilla approach, our developer decides to swing the pendulum to the absolute opposite extreme.
As engineers often do.
Right. They go from zero structure to massive, rigid, unyielding structure. And this brings us to Harness 2.
Harness 2 is a framework called GSD, which stands for Get Shit Done.
A great name.
It really is. It was created by an engineer known as Tashes. This is a multi-agent framework that forces the AI into incredibly strict, uncompromising phases of work.
We are talking about a full-blown corporate assembly line here.
Oh, completely.
There's a discuss phase, then a plan phase, a plan checker phase, an execute phase, a verify phase, and an audit fix phase.
And the real shift here is that the execution is completely handed off to sub-agents.
Okay, so the state of the project no longer lives in a massive chat history window.
Exactly. It lives in actual files saved directly to the hard drive in a dedicated planning folder.
And we should absolutely highlight the superpower of this approach, right?
Yeah.
Because it handles massive, highly complex tier 4 work beautifully.
It's incredible for that. The developer ran a full redesign of their Shishuan project through this GSD framework.
We're talking database schema migrations, building entirely new subsystems, handling deep dependencies across different phases of the project.
Real heavy lifting.
Yeah, but let me make sure I understand the mechanics of this. By using subagents, the main conversational thread stays incredibly lean. Right.
That's correct.
Because the author noted, it only uses about 15% of the total context budget.
Yeah, and that's because the main thread isn't actually doing the work, it's just managing.
Ah, okay.
The subagents boot up, they read their specific plans straight from the hard drive, they execute the code, and they only report back with a brief summary of what they accomplished.
So they aren't dumping the whole raw transcript into your main chat window.
Not at all. It completely solves the context landfill problem.
Which sounds amazing. But the cure was almost worse than the disease.
It turns out this framework is wildly over-engineered for anything less than a massive overhaul.
Yeah, every single phase of this GSD framework generates 6 distinct meta-artifacts.
6?
Yes. Before it writes a single line of actual code, it writes a context document, a patterns document, a research document, a review document, a validation document, and a verification document.
The administrative bloat is just staggering.
It's insane. It sounds like we went from having a messy desk where we couldn't find a pen to hiring a corporate project management firm that requires you to fill out 6 different forms in triplicate just to get permission to change a light bulb.
That is exactly what it feels like.
Listen to these hard numbers from the source. In that Sichuan repository, the planning folder ballooned to roughly 21,000 lines of text.
Wow.
And in another repo called LN, it hit 24,000 lines.
Just of planning documents.
Just planning. The author said that for a basic 3-file feature, reading through the generated planning documents took longer than actually writing the code change itself.
It is the ultimate bureaucracy. But we do have to look at why the developer didn't just immediately delete this framework and walk away.
Right, because they kept using it for a while.
They did. That heavy, suffocating bureaucracy actually served a vital purpose. The developer realized that the multi-agent planning phases had caught real system-breaking bugs before execution even started.
Wait, how does a planning document catch a bug before the code is even written?
Okay, so imagine you ask an AI to update a user profile feature. A vanilla AI might just jump in and add a new column to the database.
Makes sense.
But if that database is tied to a legacy billing system, adding that column might break the payment processing.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, that's bad.
Right. The GSD bureaucracy catches this because it forces one agent to write a research document on dependencies and a completely separate agent to audit that research for risk before any code is authorized.
I see.
When you're doing a massive database migration, you want that bureaucracy. You want 6 different digital documents looking at risk from different angles.
Okay, I definitely see the value for the massive stuff. It acts as a safety net. But the developer started resenting the tool every time they just wanted to ship a normal medium-sized feature.
Yeah, it was just too heavy for the day-to-day.
So, desperate for a middle ground, something between the messy desk of vanilla and the suffocating bureaucracy of GSD, they tried a third approach.
Harness 3.
Right. A modular skill-based system.
This utilizes a tool called Superpowers, created by Jesse Vincent. And instead of rigid, unavoidable phases, Superpowers acts as a library of about 14 composable skills.
Right. Things like brainstorming, writing plans, test-driven development, sub-agent-driven development.
Exactly. You just invoke the specific skills you need for the task at hand, rather than forcing every task through a 6-step assembly line.
And there's a lot to love about this middle ground. It spins up fresh sub-agents per task, which is great for keeping context clean.
Yes, and it features a brilliant 2-stage review process. It checks the code against the specification compliance first, and then does a separate pass to check the code quality.
Which prevents what we call spec drift.
Right. Spec drift is when the AI slowly forgets what it was actually asked to build as it gets deep into writing the code.
It just wanders off script.
Exactly.
But of course, there is a catch with Harness 3. 2 catches, actually.
Naturally.
First, there's the tax. To ensure the AI actually remembers that it has access to these cool skills, there is a session start hook that automatically injects a meta skill into every conversation.
It essentially constantly reminds the AI, hey, remember to use your skills.
Right. But that reminder costs about 5,000 tokens per session. Every single time.
It's a fixed overhead cost that severely eats into your efficiency.
Hold on. I'm stuck in this tax thing. 5,000 tokens just to remind the AI to do its job. That sounds incredibly wasteful.
It does sound wasteful.
Isn't there a way to just bake that into the core system prompt permanently so you don't have to pay that tax every time?
You would think so, but here is why that fails. The skills are dynamic.
Okay.
The AI doesn't just need to know the skill exists. It needs to understand the exact technical schema of how to call that specific tool programmatically.
And the schemas are long.
Very long. Injecting those detailed schemas takes up thousands of tokens. If you hard code every puzzle skill schema into the system prompt, you permanently bloat the context window for every single conversation, even when you don't need those skills.
So the dynamic injection is a necessary evil.
Exactly. But as you pointed out, it is a massive toll just to get on the road.
And the second flaw is far more restrictive when it comes to scaling. It is explicitly serial.
Right. No parallel agents.
To avoid merge conflicts,
right,
which happen when two AI agents try to edit the exact same file at the exact same time and end up overwriting each other's work, this Superpowers Harness never dispatches parallel implementation agents.
It's one at a time.
Yeah. If Harness 2 is a massive corporate bureaucracy, Harness 3 is a strict relay race. You might have a great team of sub-agents, but only one person is allowed to run on the track at any given time.
And that completely bottlenecks your throughput on large projects.
I can imagine.
If you have a complex plan with 20 distinct tasks, The main coordinating thread has to sit there, holding the text of all 20 tasks in its memory, passing the baton sequentially from agent to agent, spec reviewer to code reviewer, task by slow task.
And boom. What happens? The main thread swells with context, the memory gets too heavy, and you're right back in the context landfill you were trying to escape in the first place.
Exactly. So now the developer is staring at a profound dilemma. They possess two partially right systems.
Right.
The bureaucratic framework is incredible at dispatching parallel waves of subagents for massive work, but it drowns small and medium work in administrative planning ceremony.
And the superpowers framework is agile and great for modular work, but it chokes and becomes bloated on long sequential runs. And the realization here is huge. The problem wasn't that the AI wasn't smart enough. The problem was picking one default harness for all types of work.
Precisely. Forcing every shape of work through a single static workflow is what causes the breakdown. And this realization leads to the climax of the developer's journey.
Harness 4. The epiphany.
The big one.
They stop trying to find the one true harness and instead built a meta layer, an orchestrator. They called it Big Task.
It's a custom orchestrator that automatically triggers whenever a task touches three or more files.
And its entire job is delegation. It doesn't replace the other harnesses. It actually routes the work to them based on the shape of the task.
This is a brilliant shift from execution to management. The Big Task orchestrator begins with phase 0.0, which is essentially an automated project scan.
Okay, what does it scan for?
It runs a lightning-fast heuristic script to look for signals about what kind of repository it's dealing with.
Right. It looks at the file types. If it sees a ton of markdown files, it flags the project as light, like a basic blog.
Exactly.
If it sees UI frameworks like Tailwind or Shadling Ascent, it flags it as U. If it sees heavy database ORMs like Prisma or payment gateways like Stripe, it flags it as heavy.
But repo shape is only half the battle. This brings us to phase 0.0, step 2.5, task intent.
And this is where the developer made a mistake that I think every single person using AI makes at some point. The keyword matching trap.
Yes. Initially, the developer just set up a script to scan the user's prompt for keywords.
It seems logical enough.
Right. If the prompt contained the word Stripe or migration, it would automatically force the orchestrator to route the work to the heavy bureaucracy harness.
Which, again, seems completely logical. Stripe means payments. Payments mean high risk. Therefore, use the heavy harness.
Sure, but using basic keyword matching inside an AI context is a complete anti-pattern.
Yeah, we're taking an advanced reasoning engine capable of profound semantic understanding and treating it like an automated resume scanner that throws out a CEO's application just because it didn't contain the exact phrase Microsoft Word.
Because it lacks contextual judgment, the developer quickly realized that a prompt saying, "I was reading about Stripe's API yesterday, anyway, please fix this typo," gets flagged as a heady task simply because the word Stripe was present.
Which is ridiculous for a typo.
Yeah.
So they threw out the keyword list entirely and shifted to judgment criteria. They started asking the AI to judge what the task actually does to the system. What is the blast radius?
Blast radius is a fantastic concept here. The AI is asked to evaluate the real-world consequences. Is the consequence of this task failing a loss of customer money or just a bad afternoon fixing a visual bug?
Right. Is the task easily reversible with a simple undo command, or does it require a complex data migration to unwind?
It's asking the AI to judge the risk, the permanence, and the complexity. If it touches a revenue path or a trust boundary, it goes to the heavy harness, even if the repo itself is just a light markdown blog.
And this orchestration layer extends to a strict sub-agent dispatch policy. The golden rule they instituted is never inline when the tier is 3 or higher, and D, the independent task count is 3 or higher.
Let's translate that for a second.
Yeah, so inline means doing the work directly in the main chat thread.
Okay.
So the rule is, if the work is complex and there are multiple moving parts, never let the main chat thread try to do it all. Always dispatch subagents.
Got it.
But wait, if the subagent is totally isolated and it doesn't get my full giant prompt, how does it know what to actually do?
That is the beauty of the execution mechanism. The orchestrator takes your giant prompt, synthesizes it, and writes a highly focused temporary specification file directly to the hard drive.
Well, that's clever.
Then the subagent boots up, reads just that one specific file, executes the code, and then crucially, it is forced to return a strictly structured summary of 200 tokens or less.
It is completely contained. No landfill.
Exactly. And this orchestrator allowed the developer to see something that took them 2 solid months to realize about that heavy bureaucratic GSD framework from earlier.
What was that?
The developer realized that GSD's execution engine, the actual mechanical process of dispatching agents to do the coding, was incredibly lean all along.
Really?
Yes. It was sitting at just 15% of the main thread budget. The developer had conflated the mechanical efficiency of its execution with the heavy, bloated ceremony of its planning phase.
I see.
Once the orchestrator separated the two, they realized GSD's execution was actually unmatched for long, autonomous runs.
Because it lets parallel sub-agents self-load from the disk, do their job, and report back quietly.
It's beautiful.
So pulling this all together, what are the key takeaways from this entire two-month saga? The developer's final advice is crystal clear. Do not pick a default harness. Match the workflow to the shape of the work.
Exactly. If the work is trivial, stick to the vanilla chat interface.
Keep it simple.
If it's a standard feature with a locked-in design, route it to the superpower skill system for that great two-stage review.
Right.
If it is a massive, multi-phase implementation that can be parallelized, utilize GSD's execution engine.
And if the spec is completely unclear and you need architectural decisions, use the superpower's brainstorming chain.
The orchestrator they built, Big Task, is ultimately just a router. The actual magic is understanding the nature of your own work.
And I really want to emphasize this for you, the listener, right now. This is not just a lesson for software developers. The principles apply universally.
Completely agree. Whether you are writing a novel, managing a complex research project, or analyzing financial data with an AI, the same rules apply.
If you force all of your work through a single static prompt workflow, it will eventually break. The context landfill will come for you.
It is inevitable.
You need to adjust your AI's constraints based on the blast radius of what you are doing. Sometimes you just need a quick chat. But sometimes you need to ask the AI to generate an outline, save that outline to a document, clear the chat entirely, and then only feed that outline to a fresh AI session to write chapter one.
You have to actively manage the context. You have to become the orchestrator of your own digital workflows.
You are no longer just the person doing the work. You are the manager of the intelligence doing the work.
That's a great way to put it.
And looking at this whole evolution, it leaves me with one final kind of wild thought to chew on.
Let's hear it.
To maximize AI efficiency and solve the context limit, this developer essentially had to construct distinct digital departments.
They did, yeah.
They built a bureaucratic management team for heavy tasks, agile soloists for light tasks, and a strict router at the top acting as an executive to decide who gets what.
A literal corporate structure on their hard drive.
Exactly. If solving our local machine constraints requires us to perfectly recreate human corporate structures, what happens when these digital departments start having their own office politics and communication breakdowns?
Oh, man, that's a terrifying thought.
Right. If the planner agent starts arguing with the execution agent over who dropped the baton, well, that brilliant colleague we talked about at the very beginning might just need a digital HR department next.